not your baby, our baby, Satan's baby!
There are things in heaven and on earth beyond the comprehension of man. Call them what you will. The occult, witchcraft, devil worship.
Satan, behold thy supplicants!
Arise and come in, child. Enter for yet another lifetime in the Brotherhood of Satan.
The Brotherhood of Satan. A demon spirit of madness and murder holds a California town in the grip of terror.
My God, they're all mad.
Witches. Black artisans, celebrants of the Black Mass.
A story of contemporary family witchcraft in California. The Brotherhood of Satan, rated GB.
Ladies and gentlemen, a barbaric guardian, the seven gates of hell.
Oh, Warning, the songs you are about to hear are intended for mature listening audiences only. If you have a weak mind or heart and don't like words like shit, fuck, or cunt, then please refrain from listening any further.
It's time for some real music. It's showtime!
Los Angeles and the rest of the world. Today is a special broadcast of the very manic Jimmy Cabs show. I am your host, Jimmy Cabs, broadcasting live from downtown gentrified Los Angeles. You know, it's very interesting when I think back and reflect over 35 years of being in to extreme underground music. It's always interesting to see how throughout the decades, this where the genre has gone and how it has gone worldwide and how influential, and especially now in this day and age where around the world, music is what keeps us all united and helps us all overcome the horrors of this fucking planet. In 1984, I had the privilege of going and seeing a band that is not only legendary and iconic, they are indeed the innovators, the masters, the true masters of what now is referred to as black metal. But I would say they are the masters of all genres. I'm talking about the legendary Venom, Inc. Fucking lawyers, right? Fucking lawyers, man. Lawyers got to fuck everything up. You know that today here, by the way, let me introduce my guests before I start rambling. The legendary Mantis, Abaddon.
Hello.
Demolition Man.
Hello.
Thank you all for being here, joining us here at the very,
pleasure.
The very 19th floor We Play Radio Studios. Let's hope an earthquake doesn't hit right now.
No, that'll hit tonight when we go on stage.
Right? Yeah, exactly. That's what we want. Today in downtown Los Angeles in the courts, the decision in regards to the Led Zeppelin Stairway to Heaven case was handed today.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of the, or maybe not because you've been on tour extensively.
I've heard
the song. But you know, the controversy between Spirit and Zeppelin and the thievery and all that. So it went to a jury. And of course, the jury, especially here in America, they're all idiots. They don't pay attention to evidence, you know? And they're also fanatic. They're probably all fanatic Led Zeppelin fans. So they just repaid thievery, right? As you can tell, I was a Led Zeppelin fan, but as I got older and as I researched and as I found out the blatant thievery, one of the reasons why I respect all three of you is because, number one, as I mentioned before, you are the innovators. Be that as it may, the reason why I have immense respect for all of you is because you're all decent, down-to-earth human beings, and you are here now performing, giving that same pleasure, that same joy that I had over 35 years ago. 35 fucking years ago. How are you guys doing that now? I wake up now, fucking my back is killing me.
Jimmy, I wake up and your back's fucking killing me.
How do you guys do that? You guys all look great. Okay, I mean, I had the pleasure of seeing you perform the last time you were, you know, around this part of the tour. You guys have been touring extensively. Let me start off by asking you right off the bat. How are you enjoying performing not only the Venom songs, but performing as musicians in the year 2016? Can you believe that? Where did all the time go?
I don't know. I got this question 2 days ago. I was doing an interview and the guy said, did you ever envisage that you would be doing this all these years later? And my answer was, well, music's my life and I couldn't imagine doing anything else. So I don't suppose we've gave it any opportunity but to happen. You know, we're all very focused and very driven. And that's the way the whole thing came about in the first place. And, I think I've got more of an appreciation for it now as well. You know, as a young guy, you go out there and I've spoke about this in the past. It seemed like, you know, you went into a studio, you recorded a demo, you did a single, it was released, and then you went on tour. And that just seemed to be the norm back in those days. You know, for us, there was no building process or anything like that. Right. And we went straight from zero to hero type of thing. The success was very, very quick, which probably contributed to a lot of problems in the band as well. But now, I don't take anything for granted. You know, we've walked into some great venues. We've walked into some very small venues, you know, venues with no dressing rooms, anything like that. Since the inception of this Venom Inc. thing in April of last year, which was meant to be a one-off, you know, just a one-off show for a festival.
Boy, that sure got stretched out, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. But since its inception, I mean, we haven't went out with a backdrop, any pyrotechnics to speak of, any show, anything like that. It's been us and the music. You know, us, the music, and the fans.
And this is why I have immense respect for all of you. Just what you just said there. You're going out there. To me, if you allow me to use this metaphor, it reminds me of the boxers, you know, going into the ring.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, everyone is saying, hey, here is the ex-champion. And not only is that champion doing it raw and real and hanging in the ring, but at the same time, what's going on here is you are literally bringing back that iconic sound that no one has been able to replicate. Everyone has tried for the last 30 years.
I know that's another thing that we've had so many times from fans saying, I can't believe how you sound the same as you did way back then.
Amazing.
You know, how authentic it sounds and all that. You know, on the subject of the championship boxer getting back into the ring, fuck me, it's a fight to get out of bed every morning for us now. You know, I mean, it is exhausting. You know, we haven't got the recuperative powers of, you know, the younger guys and stuff like that. But
Especially when you've been fisted in the ring continually all night.
That was Abaddon, who obviously drags every conversation straight into the gutter.
It's the beauty of Venom.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Oh, I gotta got keep remembering Venom Inc. Don't want any lawyers barging in here.
No. I don't think that'll happen, to be perfectly honest. I wouldn't worry about that. I mean, every night we get the Venom chant.
Let me just say this right off the bat and start this conversation and make it clear, because I do not want to go into the whole Conrad discussion. I do not want to reflect on this whole... To me, there is no rivalry. There is no second Venom. There's only one Venom, Inc. There's only one Venom. And you are here present. And let me say this for all those that have been voiceful. It's amazing here. I don't know if this is around the world, but here in the West Coast and in America, boy, I mean, I think Conrad should run for president, because, I mean, the PR company that he has, for whatever reason, like, no one looks into the history. I turn blue when I say the real Venom is performing now. And now, and let me add this to it, because you're all playing genuinely. Mm. You're all playing from the heart.
Yeah.
Nobody here is out because of the money.
No,
nobody
not.
Here has an ego. Nope. And let me say this very bluntly. You enjoy what you do.
Yes.
Aside from creating this incredible music that has lasted so many decades. Everybody talks about the Eagles and Led Zeppelin. Fuck all that. This is amazing what you have done. Timeless music. 30 years from now, your music will still be being played.
No, I'd like to think so, yeah.
And this is what's incredible. You're all doing this now with the utmost joy. And as we were discussing off the record, and, you know, I'll keep our off-the-record conversation private, but I'll just throw this in effect. I've seen the horrors that you deal with your fan base. I'm not talking about the young fan. I'm talking about old motherfuckers my age that are following you around. Mantis, sign this. You just performed fucking almost 2 hours. You gave your audience everything. You don't have a dressing room because, you know, number one, you're not a rock star. Number two, we're dealing with the real world. Yeah. And you got a bunch of fuckers in their 40s, 50 years old. They're all following you around like if they're 12. And then Demolition Man over here, he just performed for 2 fucking hours. His throat's all scripted and everyone wants to talk to him. And then Abaddon over here behind the percussion, which is like fucking a Nautilus gym. Another a fucking long-haired, bearded stalker. How do you guys deal with all that?
I know, right? I mean, it's fucking ridiculous.
How do you deal with that? I would be in jail by now.
It's what we've said before. I mean, myself and Tony did the whole thing with Empire, where we would come off stage and literally jump into the audience.
Oh,
and we did
God,
that for 4 or 5 years. Yeah. And, you know, we came to the point where we says, you know, we've got to step back a little bit, you know. But we appreciate, because we signed so many collections, we appreciate that, you know, somebody may come to the show and that may be their only opportunity to ever meet the band, to see the band or whatever. And I'll be the first to admit that myself personally, I'm less sociable than, you know, Demolition Man and Abaddon. They'll go out and, you know, but I'm a little bit more of a recluse. I'm not the social butterfly type thing. But having said that, if there's people at the bus and they want stuff signed in, who am I to say no?
Yeah.
You know, and he does it. He will get off the bus and take photographs and speak to people and shake their hands and sign endless albums. It's that respect for these guys, for Venom, and the respect back to the fans. It's like I say on stage to them throughout this tour, I've been saying, this is your band. This is your music. Not some fat folk on a computer that's 5,000 years old in his mom's basement somewhere telling you what you should and shouldn't fucking like. This is about being
real. Hey, why are you
talking
about me that way?
And the reason that those 40-somethings or whatever run around like fangirls wanting to go, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, is because we've just performed and reduced them to the 16-year-old guy that first heard the band.
Absolutely.
And if we weren't doing that, if people were just going, yeah, okay, and leaving, well, we'd probably be of selling them short. And we give 100% of ourselves. And you, in order to be real, in order to be genuine, you have to do that. Me and Jeff always said, if we don't come off stage, fuck, we know we haven't given our all. So to come off stage that exhausted means we've depleted ourselves on stage, and that's what they deserve, you know?
Don't forget it's a double-edged sword as well, because if we come off stage and we went on the bus and we're all hyper and, you know, full of energy.
Oh, you'd be...
Yeah, but if we turn around and there's nobody wanting shit signed...
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be pretty down. I'd be pretty pissed off.
Yeah.
When people are there to keep the party going afterwards and the people want to talk about stuff and they want to be part of stuff and this kind of thing... That's a sweetener at the end of the night, you know. That's a cherry on the cake for me, and that kind of rounds the evening off.
Yeah,
is that
if that wasn't there, I'd feel like I was being
a bit lost, something taken away.
Is that why all three of you, as a collective of Venom Inc., are not only running on all cylinders, and not only are you guys performing, and I don't mean to offend, but I think you guys are performing way better than when I saw you in the 80s.
Oh, God, yes.
Way better. And let me give you an example as to why. As I mentioned before, the energy level where you're all, the chemistry is there and you all enjoy each other. But another reason, and let me commend you, because I have not seen any journalists or so-called music aficionados mention the fact that, yes, Mantis and Abaddon, you are Venom. You are the foundation. But it would not be resurrected if it wasn't for this man. Mm. It's a collective. It's like a motor. That car is not going to go anywhere unless every piece fits in.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you bring in, you get so much bash because of the Conrad Kool-Aid.
I know, I can't
that this whole propaganda, the fucking guy's like Stalin. I don't know, everyone's brainwashed.
Yes.
They don't realize the fact that, number one, Cronuts, and by the way, all comments expressed by Jimmy Kevs or Jimmy Kevs alone, this does not reflect my guest or the fucking poor guy that's going to get probably sued for this. But the point is Conrad was a fucking asshole. Okay, my opinion. One of the things that I like about what you're doing is, aside from really giving it your all and really showing the respect that these two gentlemen, which are your bandmates, deserve by performing those songs so elegantly and so perfectly and so majestically, where a fan from my era and a kid now are both in unison.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That life, that fresh life, is something that there are a lot of bands that are from the era we're discussing that have not been able to achieve.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think this, my friends, is the fact that each and every one of you bring into this energy, which is Venom, you bring in this true human element of genuosity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when when we looked at putting...
I'm a little long-winded,
this,
by the way. So
no, when we looked at putting this version of the band together... I spoke to Tony straight away about it, and there were a lot of people in bands like, I guess, Sodom and Destruction, this kind of thing, who the the bass player singer looked like a Kronos and acted like a Kronos and sang like a Kronos. Never entered my head to speak to anybody to be a fill-in Kronos. It was to be another strong frontman bass player. And Tony was the first person that popped in my head. It was a no-brainer.
And you've done a magnificent job.
Yeah, but he you know, people say, oh, how do you fill such big boots and how do you fill Kronos' place and all this kind of shit? He doesn't, because he never had to.
Yeah.
He stepped in as his own person. He didn't step in as Kronos version 2, Kronos version 3, 4, 5. He stepped in as his own person and was equally as big, equally as strong, and has proved to be a far better frontman, singer, bass player, because the band had to grow as bands do. The band was rough, the band was roping, the band was always going to grow. But to do that, we needed somebody who was going to grow as a bass player and as a singer and be able to do it every night. And I don't personally believe that Conrad can do that. I don't think if he was on a 30-day tour, he would do more than 10 dates and his throat would give out. He wouldn't be able to play. He wouldn't be able to do this kind of thing that we're doing continually. It takes something, you know?
But another thing that I want to make a comment about real quick is the fact that the live dynamic, as I mentioned before, is stronger than ever. And you have been touring. You have been going out and you have, you know, anyone can do the talk and say, hey, you know, I'm the innovator. I've been, you know what? You got to get in the ring. The ring is the road. And you have proven time and time again to be winning each bout. And here's what I find very impressive. There's so much so-called controversy. I don't really see it as controversy, because once the Venom fans know the history, it's black and white. But when you go to a live show and see Venom Inc., you walk away going, that's Venom.
Well, interesting. On this second half of the tour, I've had people coming up. One guy in particular came up and said, you know, many, but I'm just picking one instance. And the guy came up and said, man, I got to shake your hand. I was like, brilliant. Did you enjoy it? He was like, fantastic. He said, I didn't come in January because I thought there is no Venom without Kronos. He said, but I looked at the set list and he said, I was struggling with myself going, fuck, I really want to hear those songs. And he said, I came and I did not expect that. He said, man, that's Venom.
How do you feel when the so-called diehard Venom Kronos fans commend you that way? Well, do you feel accomplished?
You know what it is? It's just the people who said at the beginning, I'm a Venom fan, and bullshit to everybody else and fuck Slayer fuck Metallica. And they said, you know, we like Venom because other people don't.
Yeah.
It's fucking Marmite, it's chalk and cheese, it's take it or leave it, and Venom are one of those bands. We'll always be one of those bands. Motorhead became a band that you loved or hated, but then you kind of grew to
love
accept.
Lemmy and
you know, and yeah, and the Ramones, you kind of grew to accept them, and you know, Venom, you never were. It was always black or white. It still is black or white. But the point is that the people who are diehard fans, I know why they say that. I know why they're like, okay, it's got to be Lantern Braid, has to be U3. And it's like, oh, all right, don't fucking panic. Just come and see it. Yeah. don't shit your fucking pants. Just come and see it, see what you think, and just be equally as honest.
And you know? When I perform those songs, not only do I, obviously, these guys I've known for a long, long time, and I consider them, obviously, my friends, but also I know that they deserved so much better than what they got, and they deserved so much more from the industry, and there's a strong fan base, but I wanted them to realize who they were, and we went back to start. We didn't skip. We're not selling fucking chocolate bars with a fucking name Venom on it. We're not phoning this shit in. We're not only playing certain places where we can scalp people for as much money as we can get. We went straight back to start. We played 50 people there, 500 people there, 3 people there, 6 people there, Minnesota, Texas, New York. We were fucking... Somebody asked us to play it, and we've gone, and we've never stopped since we started touring. We will do the album, of course, we want to, but while we get the offers to go. But each night, we have a synergy. The original band had a synergy. You couldn't put your finger on it. There was just something about it that was magical and destructive at the same time, but that was the beauty of the beast. We found that we have a synergy, and we've got it even more so now because we enjoy playing. The grooves are there, the blues are there, and I personally play the songs with not only every bit of respect for those songs, which I consider personally great songs. They're fantastic to play, but I give everything I can to do justice to those songs. And I'm not trying to mimic anybody else. I want the songs that I heard that made me think, fuck, I love that song. I want it to sound like that for everybody else, because I know everybody in the audience had that same moment I did.
That's right.
So you can only do it with respect. You can only do it with everything you've got and be as honest about it as you can. If someone comes out and goes, he sucks, well, then, okay, brilliant. Some people like apples, some people like oranges. It doesn't matter. But to judge it by not seeing it is just so fake. I mean, you're judging something because you haven't heard it or seen it or been there. You know, I mean, that's insane, isn't it? That's like me going, I hate the LA Lakers, but I've never watched a basketball game. I mean, how do I know? How do I know if they're any good? Or I don't like them or I like someone else? It's like, give yourself a chance. So I invite people to come, experience it. If it doesn't make you feel like it should make you feel, then that's fair enough. Then you can definitely go away and stay on your computer all night saying what a bunch of faggots and what a wanker I am. But if you don't give it that chance, and respect as a fan of the music, as a fan of these guys. And also the other thing, you know, the control of one individual to say the albums that we did can't be released because he doesn't want them released. The biographies that he writes can't include them because he wants to have invented the wheel. I am, they aren't, I am, they... All of that is, you know, the fans at the end of the day that promote him or laud him, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't. You know, he was the voice on those albums, those seminal albums. You can't eradicate that. Nobody's trying to eradicate that.
Right.
But to have that individual say that nobody should see these two was the straw that brought the camel back for me. And I just thought, if the fans want to see all three of them, you can fucking see all three of them. If you want to hear all the songs by all three of them, you're going to fucking hear them. Okay, maybe not in the same place at the same time, but you definitely should have that access.
Well, here's the deal. You know what? All these individuals that like to talk, tonight is the fucking night that you need to put up or shut up. Go see what I've known for over 30 years, Venom. They're playing tonight at the Whiskey. This is going to be a performance that, again, much like the 1984 show here in Los Angeles, is going to be legendary and iconic. Let me tell you why. Number one, these are the innovators. These are the masters. And especially now in this day and age with the way fucking the economy is, you're going to get your money's worth.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get your money's worth. So come on out. The Whiskey, a go-go. Venom, Inc. will be performing tonight all the tunes. And let me tell you this, 30 years of music journalism, I put my reputation on it. Excellent. Let's listen to some Venom Inc. playing legendary and iconic and groundbreaking, a track off the Black Metal record. This is Black Metal Live. Take it away, Chester.
We'll be right back.
Laid on your soul! Laid on your soul!
On the night of the Witch's Sabbath, the Coven of 13 gathers for the Black Mass of Death.
Oh, no! unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
All right. Let me just start off by saying, let me first ask you real quick, Mantis. Are you impressed how mature I am and how in control I am right now? Like, you would never think I was, like, this huge fanboy, right?
No, absolutely. You're doing a great job, Jimmy.
Okay. Is that you in that picture, Jimmy?
What's that?
Is that you in that picture?
It sure is.
And you haven't got any pants on. Have you seen that? Who's the guy holding you?
Look at Jimmy's ass.
Whoa. We'll discuss that in a bit. What we heard there was Blackened Are the Priest. That was a track off the Primeval record. You know, I'm going to get into this real quick, but that's another thing that bothered me when you released Primeval, how it was not recognized for what it is. And look at it now. You know, now finally, music journalists are coming out saying, you know what, that was a pretty good record after all.
Yeah.
Before that, we heard Black Metal, and that was Live. Little taste of what you're going to get tonight. We started off the whole show. We played Warhead, another fantastic gem there that just seems to mow down the decades. It's more potent than ever now.
It's a live track, yeah.
And then we heard Primeval, and that also is off the Primeval record. Let's start off with this question. Tonight you're going to be playing the Whiskey A Go-Go. You're going to be performing all these amazing songs. I mentioned that when I've seen all of you perform, that the energy, the dynamic, the unison, the how you all enjoy yourselves. But let me ask you this. Do you enjoy performing these songs now compared to back in the day?
Oh, God, yeah.
Why is that?
He's a great guitarist.
Yeah, we've got a better bass player and a better fucking frontman.
this guy
was always a great guitarist. And to see him play with the joy and the experience, the maturity of his playing, the ability. And, you know, when we play Poison or something, you know, which sounded like this cacophonic piece, you know, and Tony plays with such a groove, all of a sudden it becomes, and you see where the song was and it becomes something completely different. And people are losing the plot. You know, a great song anyway, but playing it with those years of experience, knowing the identity of people. People could play the drums. You know, in Empire, we played some Venom songs, not because we were trying to, you know, do anything other than the fans would go, well, if you got Mantis there, can't you play Black Metal? And you were in the band. It's like, yeah, but we're playing this. And go, oh, go on, play Diode or something. So we did. And then people go, oh, they're trying to rely on those songs. It's like, no.
You're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Of course.
Yeah.
But the thing is, another drummer, which we had playing, it didn't sound. The minute this man got behind the kit and we played it, Keep It True, we were shocked. He was ill. He didn't even remember the show.
Did all of your eyes just open up and realize, like, wow, this is...
Here we are again.
The energy's here.
I've said this a few times. It's taken me all this time to realize that the actual basis of Venom, the sort of sound, is the chaos he creates on the drums and whatever I do on guitar. And then to have precision over the top of it, and, you know, somebody who's actually playing the fucking notes and singing the songs, then, you know, I don't know. So there's something happening at the moment that I can't put my finger on.
If we'd got together and rattled through some songs and it sounded like a band playing
versions
of those songs, and I think we'd all have had a drink, shook hands and walked away.
Yeah.
I think the thing was that when we got up and rattled through those songs, without any rehearsals, we hadn't actually met each other. We just sort of agreed to do a certain amount of songs. We all rehearsed them separately in our own way. So anything could have happened. But basically when we got up and played through them, we were thinking, fucking hell, you know, that sounds like it did in 1984. That sounds like we did in a...
We had a feeling, didn't we?
It's still there. A pleasant surprise.
And that's what drives it every night, because every night it sounds like us rehearsing in a church hall. It sounds like us at some chaotic fucking rehearsal, and it sounds great.
Did any of you have any reservations prior to that Keep It True performance?
Yeah, me. Absolutely.
Did you?
I said no.
Yeah.
What was the reservation?
Did you...
Because I didn't... I really didn't envisage myself in any form of Venom again. I'd already put a statement out because there was rumours of a Venom reunion of the original lineup. And I was contacted by the old manager about this. And then these rumours seemed to get more and more. And every time we went away with Empire, somebody had leaked something because I was getting asked by fans and by promoters, oh, when's the Venom reunion? And I was like, for fuck's sake, there's been nothing arranged. There's been nothing agreed. I hadn't spoke to Abaddon at all. The only person I'd been in contact with was the old manager. So I thought, right, I'm going to send Cronus an email. So I sent him a long, detailed email outlining my thoughts and fully expecting the answer that I got, which, by the way, was very, very polite and agreeing that I should put a statement out to say, look, this isn't going to happen. You know, we're separate entities now. So we exchanged a couple of emails, like I say, very polite, no problems whatsoever. We just said our piece and that was it. I put the statement out. The very next interview he did, he called me worse than shit. He actually said, I don't know why I'm included in that fucking statement and all this kind of crap. It's like, and it was at that point I thought, right, fuck you. I've had enough of this shit. I don't need to take this crap anymore.
I know that you're not a psychologist and I know you're not in that realm of the psyche, but is he bipolar?
He's a paranoid schizophrenic. He's
there's something
like
going on here with him.
He's always from
Poland. Is it like someone who's from Poland and from Poland?
Yeah. He's a polar bear.
When I make this comment to Venom fans, I always either get a backlash or I get the sentiment that I feel. Mm-hmm. I think at this point, at this day and time, there is no way that I personally have invested my energy, my dedication, my money to Venom, I would not want to see a reunion with Cronus. And I'm going to tell you why. And I'm not saying this because you're here, Tony. I'm going to keep it honest. I would not want to see what I have already experienced watching Venom Inc. play live, which is that energy, that intense, genuine, sincere, honest energy. Because that resonates back to the audience.
Oh, yeah.
And I enjoy the joy. Have you seen your audience how happy they fucking get? You got fucking 50-year-old dudes jumping up like little girls. Mm-hmm. The point is I don't think you could replicate that with Cronus anymore.
No, I honestly don't think so.
I think it would be tragic.
I don't think so.
I think it would be fake. I think it would be false. And I don't even think it would survive.
No, it wouldn't. I mean, you know, we've tried the reunion thing again. We even said this to each other in the emails, you know, that we, you know, we tried the reunion. He actually said, like, you know, yeah, we had a blast, but we're very different people. Which is actually true, you know.
He was talking about himself when he said he was very different people.
He's bipolar.
But the thing is, you know, I mean, there is obviously a lot of people out there who are loyal to Cronus, and that's fine.
There should be. But
the thing is, don't tell me and don't speak to me about getting the original lineup back unless you've walked fucking half a mile in my boots.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've been there through every trial and tribulation. And like I say, what happened in 1985 was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. That's when I decided this is not a band anymore. This is a fucking traveling circus. It's ridiculous. There's no need for it. And on a personal note, I will come out here right now and say that I believe that this lineup should have happened in 1985 after the Lorelei Festival. That would have been what I would have chose to have done.
The thing that's really important to mention here, because I don't want to give the impression that I'm recycling this whole Venom reunion thing. Let's just be straight up and forward and honest about it. It will never happen.
Mm-mm.
As I said before, any true Venom fan does not want it to happen, because tonight, go experience what I'm talking about. Go see what I'm talking about. Go enjoy what I'm talking about. Venom performing on all cylinders, the classic tunes, and guess what? Enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Enjoyed it.
And it doesn't mean you're betraying the band, you're betraying Cronus. If you like Cronus and you like his new material, it doesn't mean you're betraying anything by coming to see us. It's like, you know, you're more is better. You know what I mean? I like, I don't know, fucking cereal. If I've got a bowl full of cereal, it's better than having half a bowl of cereal, my favorite cereal. So more is better. And you have got Cronus and the material he's doing, and you can see him doing a couple of classic songs. and you have got these guys with me. And but don't come with that preconception, because at the end of the day, the argument is about me not being him. It's like, I don't need to be him. I need to be me.
Of course.
They have a synergy. We have a synergy. And you'll get just as much out of it if you can.
By the way, I don't think you would look good with a fucking wig with red hair. I don't think...
I was thinking about that.
Plus, he's got really tiny feet, so yes. I couldn't fit in his boots. Then they walk him out.
You've been going...
I'm tri-Polish.
You've been performing on tour, as I mentioned before, which is the bread and butter right there. That's where fucking... You could talk all you want. You got to get on the road. You've been on the road. You've been proving it time and time again. You've been building your audience. And let me say this so I don't sound disrespectful. You've been convincing the so-called naysayers when they say that's not Venom. You've been convincing them. Your audience has been growing. Mm-hmm. On top of that, the young demographic, the seeds that are now blossoming in this metal field. Mm-hmm. How do you feel when you see that audience now?
Amazes me every single night.
Do you enjoy that?
Oh, yeah.
Does it blow your mind though? Because they weren't even the blood cell.
No, they didn't exist when the first albums came out. You know,
yeah.
It's the one biggest difference that we see every night, and we did from the very beginning. Because I was expecting, kind of, you know, no disrespect, but I was expecting the whole audience to be made of 40 or 40 somethings.
Yeah, right. A bunch of assholes like me screaming at you.
Yeah,
give me your drumstick.
You know, you are a bucket list band. You know, I've got to see you before I die type of thing. But then you're getting all these young people coming out and kicking shit out of it. And why wouldn't they? Because the underground metal scene and the people in the underground metal scene are very, very, they're very intuitive. You know, they look into what happened with certain bands of certain genres in certain eras, and they don't just invest in the new metal band coming through. They look at who, you know, they've listened to, and they look at who they're kind of influenced by, and, you know, people care about. And then they go back and think, oh, well, hang on, if I like that, I'll probably like this.
And
I'll probably get into that.
Remember the girl in Denver, Shannon, we brought on the bus, and Tony asked her exactly that. She was 21.
You bastard.
Now we were very, very good with that. We just had to make sure we tied 20 hands together. But it was okay. But the thing was, you're 21. How did you discover this? Because we're playing these classics from, you know, 90s. And she said she started with commercial radio, you know, Korn, Slipknot, all that. Then someone suggested, oh, if you're into that, you might like this. And she went back and then opened up and went all the way back to the beginning. And then she said, I found Venom. I thought, oh, my God. And there she was. And now she's got an opportunity to see it. I said, and how do you feel now? She went, it was the greatest night of my life.
How do you feel about the validation by your peers who you influenced as well? James Hetfield has come out and said, this is a fucking incredible show. Amongst other musicians of that caliber, where back in the day, they were opening for you. They were inspired and influenced by you, which is another travesty that, don't even get me started on that conversation. But the point is when I say Venom is groundbreaking and innovative, they are. If you don't take my word for it, go talk to these huge stars now, these mega colossal metal icons, and they'll tell you it all started with Venom. How does that make you feel, though, being...
Honestly?
Yeah.
Absolutely overwhelms me.
Does it blow your mind?
It just...
Because you don't seem... May I speak frankly with you? Yeah. You seem so grounded. And again, this is something that I wish I could achieve. You seem so... I would be bitter as fuck. No, multi-millionaires, no. Dude.
Yeah, I know.
Venom. and multi-millionaires.
Yeah.
How do you stay so grounded? What about you? I'm surprised you're not kicking the table right now.
I'm about to my
I mean, we can see Tony. He's getting tattooed every city he goes to. But how do you stay so grounded? James Hetfield, Venom. That was Venom. They're fucking awesome. They did it for me. But the motherfucker's multimillionaire.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's... You know, you do sort of think.
I'm sorry, by the way, but I had to ask.
Stop saying that, Jeff.
Just say he's a multi-millionaire again once more to Jeff.
I like that phrase, multi-millionaire.
He's a manager, kick you in the tits, I think.
I think it's got a lot to do with where we come from as well.
Yeah.
And especially where I am now. You know, I live in a tiny little village and nobody knows who the fuck I am. Nobody gives a shit who I am. And, you know...
How great is that, right?
It's great. Yeah, they know I'm a musician and they know when I'm away and I'm on tour and stuff. But there's no starstruck fucking bollocks or anything like that, you know?
That's the real wealth, my friend.
Yeah, I mean,
to you be know, able to live peacefully and
yeah. I mean, it's for me now. I mean, my values have changed as I've gotten older and older. All I want now is just to be happy, secure, no worries.
Peace and quiet.
Peace and quiet.
A door for his barn.
A door for his barn.
Yeah, and I want a door
in
the barn.
A camel.
I understand what you're saying about, you know, then, you know, all these bands who we have supposedly influenced.
You know what drove me nuts? I read an interview where Slash from Guns N' Roses, another fucking guy that drives me nuts. But anyways, he was commenting on the new wave of British metal, and he was speaking highly of Venom, and it's driving me fucking nuts. Yeah. All these iconic, which they've been labeled that. When I use that word with you, you've earned it. You don't need me to tell you this. You've been on the road all this
time.
There
was a picture of, Tommy and Nikki Six from Motley Crue a few weeks ago, and there's got a Welcome to Hell shirt on. Like Motley Crue was like, oh my God, that must have been around shouting.
You know what? In 84 or 85, I would have been repulsed. And right now, in 2016, that's great. Because guess what? Maybe you'll move more merch. Yeah. Fucking A, great.
That would be good. It would be great to go out with Metallica. We should do that. I don't know.
Did you ever hear the rumor that was being discussed?
What?
That a Metallica Venom tour?
I've never heard that. But if James is listening right now, hey man, let's do it.
Would you go out on that?
Oh, fuck yeah.
In a second.
I would go out there and open for Metallica. I love those guys.
Oh, there. Oh, that we're going to open for Metallica.
Hang on.
But you said with a million.
You know what would be really great? You know what would be really great is the fact that you would be out on, let's just say if they were to take you out, you would be the opening act. But you would kick their fucking ass every night. Just like you did in 83, man.
Do you know what it is? I had a long chat with James and Lars back in, I think it was 2009 when I seen them in Newcastle Arena. And I mean, Lars was saying, you know, so what happened with Venom, man? And I was like, oh, nobody, you know, we just didn't get along with each other. And then James leant in and he says, yeah, but great music, man.
Yeah.
And that meant a fuck of a lot. But I also said to them that I think that they deserve every success that they've had because they fucking worked hard, those guys. The thing is, they had fucking good management as well. So it helps. You know, if you've got the people around you. Now, that's another thing where we were very independent, almost to the point of being arrogant and obnoxious about things. We wanted to keep control of everything, but I think we needed some fucking manager to turn around and give us a good kick up the ass and say, this is what's going to happen, boys. Otherwise, that's going to happen. And it was unfortunate that happened.
But to be fair, in 1990-something or another, we did a video at the Marquee and we did an interview as part of that and I asked Lars for a lend of a grand and I never got it.
No. He gave it to me
to give to you. I just never give you it.
Oh.
All right, let's play another track here. This is a track entitled Buried Alive, Raised the Dead. This is from Japan. How did you enjoy? You know, one of the things that
love Japan.
Traveling, not only have you been touring extensively, but you've been going to different markets around the world.
China.
Does that blow your fucking mind that not only is your market, your demographic alive and well and hungry for you three, but around the world?
Yeah. You know, Jimmy, it's something that said, and said time and time again, what's amazing is we went to China, Taiwan, straight to Japan. Then we went to South America. You know, Portuguese, Spanish, Mandarin. If we go to Russia, we did that with them. I mean, we've been everywhere, and we can't speak half those languages. In probably 90% of those languages, we can hardly communicate. We try and learn something that can have a cup of coffee and thank you very much. But we can play Countess Bathory,
and they get it,
which is on the X-Men soundtrack. only that Metallica. Go see the film. I went and I fell asleep, but that's not important. But we could play Countess Bathory anywhere in the world, and they sing at the top of their lungs.
Absolutely.
That transcends religion, transcends their language, transcends politics. And a fan here is a fan on the other side of the planet.
Other countries is also available.
Other than online at www.abaddonjackdaniels.com.
Venom has been traveling around the world and they've been touring extensively here in the United States. Tonight is your opportunity to go and witness what I have known for over 35 years, the fucking heaviness and brutality and the innovators let me say this again, the innovators. When we come back, I'm going to ask you a question about these so-called black metal bands now and how they say they're fucking, you know, they should really recognize where some actually do, but it drives me nuts how they're like, they're the innovators. Get the fuck out of here. It's not New Coke, it's Coke. Okay?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Kids, let's listen to some fucking, I'm not going to use the word classic. I'm not going to use the word fucking legendary. I'm going to use the word heavy as fuck. Some Venom Live. Chester, take it away.
I thought you were going to say spongy.
Wherever the unwary sleep, beware the terror of the witch's curse. Wherever the infirm struggle for life, beware the doom of the living dead.
Oh,
Amoroso Whitlock, born 1595, condemned 1630, and buried alive as a witch.
Body is
right. As I mentioned before, tonight the legendary Venom will be playing. Inc. In case the lawyers are listening. Venom will be playing tonight at the Whiskey. Let me mention these dates real quick. June 25th, which is this Saturday, they'll be venturing off to San Diego, the Brick by Brick, another great venue there. When I saw you play there, that was an incredible show. Then you're going to be going off the 26th to the Rebel Lounge in Phoenix, Arizona. And I believe there's a Vegas date?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow we play a Las Vegas Hard Rock.
Who's routing this tour? You're going from here to Vegas? I'm sorry about that. You see how my age comes out?
Yeah, I've actually promised that I'm going to root his next fucking holidays for him.
Okay, so Venom is on tour. Make sure you log on and go to Venom on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Is that the best way to find information?
Venom on Facebook or venom_inc.com.
Are you doing all that social media shit, the Twitter and the...
I do. Tony does it.
How annoying is all that shit, right? People think I'm nuts when I say I loved when I would write a letter, put it in a fucking letter, a stamp, and send the tape off.
Right. Pick the fucking phone.
You know what I mean? Right. People are so lazy. The Twitter, and I got to do that shit too. It drives me fucking nuts, man.
Yeah. And you got to do it every day.
I don't mind the Facebook because I carry this phone. So, like, anytime some asshole pisses me off, But then when it comes to promotions, I got to do Twitter. I got to do... What else do I got to do, Chester? All that crap that you
Instagram.
Want?
Instagram.
Yeah, all that bullshit. You know what I mean? All right. Here's the deal. I hate when so-called music journalists write that you're just doing a relic show. In other words, the greatest hits. Let's talk about new music. One of the things that I hated when you joined Demolition Man and you were recording material was the fact that, as I mentioned before, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Yeah. The fact is you guys are very productive. Let's talk about new music. What's going on with new music?
New music. Myself personally, I've got 10 songs together.
Incredible.
Yeah. They're all sitting there on the hard drive at demo stage now. So I write constantly. So, you know, whether it's for Venom Inc., whether it's for Empire, for any other project that I'm doing.
I'm assuming with this day and age, with all this fucking madness that's going on in the world, you must have a lot of inspiration, right?
Oh, yeah. Coming back from South America and...
Oh, that's real world over there.
The last American stint in January, when I got home, I loaded into my computer 82 guitar riffs.
Wow.
Just from the phone. That was just off the bus and sound checks. And
that's only for one song.
Yeah, that's one song. Yeah.
He's going to layer them all. 10 guitars.
Now, let me ask you a stupid question here. And if it's stupid, please, by all means, be kind. I mentioned before the positive dynamic. Do you feel more influenced now that there's no drama, there's no toxicity, there's no fucking pain?
Oh, there's still plenty of drama. There's still a lot of fucking vehemence amongst the band. There's a lot of fucking, Tony touched on it before, there's still that that kind of inbuilt venomness.
Yeah.
But isn't that considered more the brotherly aspect, you know?
Probably, yeah.
Right? I'm talking about the narcissistic cancer.
No, that's bullshit. I mean, that's you know, non-productive.
Which I would assume would make for a very productive energy to write new material.
We care.
It used to do. I mean, it used to do with that person in the band. There used to be the same kind of anger floating about, and it was necessary to go into the music. But you have to step back from that. You have to come off stage. You have to come out of the studio and take that mantle off and put yourself back on again and get on a bus and fucking go home. Mm. And if you can't do that, if you can't just sort of sit down and, like Tony said, a couple of days later or a couple of hours later, I just go, look, I haven't got the headspace to carry all that bullshit. And we need to be doing something which is positive and equally as driven and equally as angry maybe. But you have to be able to take it off and put it on again. It's a thing. It's tangible, and it's still within this band. But the negative aspect of it, we quickly nip that in the bud as much as we can.
Yeah.
And just sort of say, look, you know, enough's enough, and we need to just move on to the next thing, which often has been because we're doing so many gigs, you know, the show that night.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing kicks in the tits a lot quicker than people being outside and wanting to see you and wanting to sort of have a little piece of you.
Yeah. It's kind of that kind of recoups the next shit hot,
you know, that gets you over that bullshit really quick.
Because we care about the presentation and because we care about the material and because we care about what we're doing, that is our impetus, really.
I would assume that right now more than ever, you all must be eager to put out new material just so you could fucking, number one, reestablish the fact that you are not a stagnant man and that you are all productive and you still have the venomish writing, creating gene. But number two, I would think that you would want to get new material out just because to satisfy yourselves.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
right?
I'm very creative and I've got to have an outlet for it. Yeah. It's got to go somewhere or otherwise it drives me nuts. So, yeah, I mean, it'll come. It'll happen.
You get into that happy bullshit place again where if we do 10 new songs, 20 new songs, and we want to put 5 of them in the set, which 5 of the old songs do we leave out? So you get to that sort of happy circumstance. You know, what do we leave out Countess Bathory because we want to put a new song in? Do we leave out Black Metal because we have a new song? Do we leave out Black, you know, Die Hard, 1,000 Days, Don't Burn a Witch? What do we leave out? I mean, we just give it 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours?
People would be happy if we did new music and be happy to it was included in the set as long as we didn't move anything out of the set. So, you take 90 minutes and now you're doing, like, you know, 180 minutes.
You know, we are both bands. We are a band with a past and with a very productive past. And we're a band that will be writing new stuff and be very proud of that new stuff and want to play that new stuff. It's just how to find the space to do all of it. We certainly wouldn't want to do what other bands may do, which is sort of do a medley of songs, just to throw three or four songs together, just to say, okay, I played Teacher's Pet Poison and Warhead ran into Don't Burn a Witch, which ran into 1,000 Days. It's like, that's not what we're about.
You know? Not only that, you would incite a riot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your fucking fans would have been there for that. Let me ask you this, Mantis, because this is a question that I asked, iconic figures where their past sometimes tends to hover over what they're doing in the present. Do you in any way, shape or form find your older material that you wrote that is now considered iconic and legendary, as I mentioned before, do you find that black cloud over the creative process in the present day?
No.
Or do you just separate yourself from that?
I don't think about it. No. I mean, I'm lucky in the respect that I've got outlets for everything that I write. You know, I've got Empire of Evil. I've got another band called Drill. We've got Venom. You know, I've got a blues project that I do. So I've got all those outlets. But when it comes to the new Venom Inc. material, you know, just by observing what is going on in the audience, I mean, Angel Dust and Poison and Live Like an Angel. Those three songs are driving the audience nuts. You know, and in those three songs, if you're one of these music buffs who analyzes this stuff, it's blues, it's rock and roll.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
That's all it is.
Yeah. And that's what I'm going to go back to. You know, it's going to be fucking heavy blues rock and roll. I think Tony said it the other night, black and roll. Yeah. And that's what's
going to be. Oh, you should trademark that.
It's already done.
Yeah. By the way, do me a favor. Don't give permission to any other artist to use that term, okay?
No.
don't make that mistake again, please. New material's being written. You said that you have material that you're working on right now. Can you give us an insight as to what direction Venom Inc. is going or where what the sound would resonate? Or
at the moment, to be perfectly honest, it's going wherever it takes me. I'm allowing the songs to write themselves. If I spend too long, I've always sort of done this, but if I spend too long on a song, I will close the studio project page and move on to something else and revisit it later. I think that songs have got to, they've got to live, they've got to breathe, and they've got to write themselves.
Yeah.
All the early material that I wrote, and that was the vast majority of Welcome to Hell and Black Metal, both of those albums, a lot, in fact, yeah, the vast majority came together so quick without thinking about it.
Isn't that incredible, just the process alone, how it just came and it just...
The song that I can...
So organic in itself, yeah. And then boom.
The song I can remember taking the most time over when I wrote it, and this is music and lyrics, was Seven Gates of Hell. And that was my tip of the hat to Ronnie James Dio.
Really?
I could totally imagine him singing that song because of the nature of the lyrics. But I think that was probably the song that I spent the most time over. But I've told this tale a lot of times now, but fucking the riffs for Black Metal. That was written when I was taking a dump on the toilet. Now, that's absolutely fucking true. You know, I've had the question so many, how did you come up with that riff? Oh, the fucking the riffs. And it's like, you know, some people take a magazine or a newspaper into the toilet, and one particular day, I just took my guitar in. I was sitting there with my guitar on my knee, hit some riffs and thought, ah, that's pretty cool. And by the time I'd come out and sat down and put some more stuff to, that was Black Metal.
Wow.
It could have been called Brown Metal.
Brown Metal, yeah.
Chocolate Metal.
Intestinal Metal, wow. Wow, what a revelation on this. Yeah, yeah. So will you
I think that's the thing. I think when Jeff comes up with riffs and brings them into the studio, and sometimes, you know, we get sort of stuck in and we start laying the shit out of them, then it becomes Venom, and then it becomes, it just needs that three people in a smallish room to kick the living fuck out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the past, you know, certainly the first albums and the first singles, the guy from Neat Records was just like, have you got any more? And it was like, maybe the songs would have developed more, given more time to play them and to rehearse them, but basically we were throwing them at the wall, running in, kicking the shit out of them. And turned them into Venom music, and they became what they became, you know, kind of really quickly.
I think my approach is, because I've written also for the thing, and I think my approach on how I've thought is, I know how Jeff thinks when he plays and how he plays, so I write with that in mind, hearing him play this stuff. Or how Tony approaches it. So it's knowing those other people, not just presenting something that's just a piece, but you're allowing that them to put themselves into it, and it becomes greater than you can think. You know, you think, oh, I've got a pretty good song there, and all of a sudden it becomes more than that, much more than that, because these are two huge personalities, and their way of playing is so specific and so them, that when they put their identity, it breathes a life that, you know, you just wouldn't get. You could certainly write a song and get other people to play the song, but it wouldn't be that song. It wouldn't.
You have to allow each other to do what they do to the music to create what is Venom.
And I would think that this has got to be the beauty of where you're at now, especially in regards to writing new music. There's no pressure. In other words, you don't have a record company going, hey, give me something, and you know, we need to get it out.
The only pressure is that we're constantly being asked to do more and more and more live shows, and we're not saying no, you know. So if we allot a time spot and we say, okay, we're going to go in the studio in July, we're kind of our own worst enemy, because then somebody comes along and says, oh, we could go to South America in July, and we're like, oh, okay, then let's do that.
And that alone in itself as well is validation. The fact that there is a hunger out there, you know, there's a hunger to see not only all three of you perform, but there's a hunger to hear these songs, and there's a hunger just to experience what they've been reading about or hearing about, or even the older demographic, to relive that again. Yeah. I mean, I love seeing you perform, but I'll tell you what, I stay in the back, and I definitely don't headbang like I used to because of my age, but the energy is still there. I mean, the reward of experiencing the live set, and that in itself also is a great thing to see now, because there are so many artists that are trying to force that out.
Yeah.
You know, here it is. It's like a natural flow that's just coming. You know, the world is just opening up, and they want to absorb what's going on. Mm-hmm. I know you got a show to perform to. We're going to cut this short. We don't have a date on when this will be released, but we do know that you're working on new material. And let me emphasize this too. The best part of this story is the fact that all three enjoy each other, enjoy what they're doing, and it's all organic. When you have those components, that just equals some fucking heavy shit.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. With that, Chester, play one more song, and then we're going to come back and wish the fellas well. We're going to send them off to the Whiskey A Go-Go tonight. Make sure you go see Venom, Inc. They're performing tonight at the Whiskey. Mark these dates down. For those of you that are in Los Angeles, you got to venture out to beautiful San Diego. San Diego's sexy. Guess what? Venom is coming down there to fuck you guys hard like they did last time. Brick by Brick, the 25th. The 26th, the Rebel Lounge, Phoenix, Arizona. Tomorrow you'll be in Las Vegas. Yeah. Where will you be playing at in Las Vegas?
Hard Rock in Las Vegas.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The Hard Rock. That place is going to crumble, man.
Yeah.
Make sure you get out and you see Venom perform. This is one of the shows you do not want to miss. You've heard about it. You've read about it. Go experience it. I've been there, and let me tell you something. You're going to love it. With that, Chester, play us another Venom track. Let me first start off by saying, gentlemen, I want to thank you for taking the time to venture into downtown Los Angeles and spend time with me here.
It's been hell, Jimmy.
Thank you for fucking dealing with my ass. Let me just say this. In this day and age, there are very few things that really are very powerful. You know, everyone talks about right now in the United States, we have this presidential race.
And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know. The real power is when you can touch the inner soul. You've all been doing this for over 30 years. Okay. The fact, Tony, or Demolition Man, you've come into this situation and you've enhanced this, keeping this power alive. in conjunction with the energy that you two have. As a fan and as a human being and as an adult male, I want to thank you so much for what you're doing and the fact that you're doing it from the heart and you're doing it sincerely and you're doing it genuinely, because not only are those traits evaporating in our society nowadays, but you are literally re-injecting positivity into the youth in a world that is so fucking negative. Yeah. Tonight, the whiskey is going to be fucking hellacious, okay? But in a positive way.
Yeah.
And I want to thank each and every one of you for doing what you've been doing collectively as Venom. Thank you for being on the Very Manic.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. Thank you, Jimmy.
Great show, man.
With that, we're going to end it with Welcome to Hell. Get out to the whiskey tonight. Make sure you get down there. Also, Nick Refrage is going to be playing San Diego Saturday, Las Vegas tomorrow. Get out there. Go see
so
the
Lord
legends.
Lord Fortress, get your ass down there.
Black metal it is. Welcome to Hell. Thanks for listening. See ya.